Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And, Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line Lynn Martell, who is the owner of the Mid-Michigan Glider Group and is a breeder of sugar gliders. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Lynn, when I first heard the name sugar gliders, I must admit to you, I had no idea what they are. And then in talking with Rick Preuss, he mentioned that it's kind of like, imagine if you had a cross between a monkey and a squirrel. And that was the way that he described them to me. But for the listeners, can you help them understand where exactly are sugar gliders? Where do they come from? What kind of animals are they? Can you help fill in those blanks?
I can do my best here. I would not describe them as monkeys and squirrels. A lot of people do think they are squirrels or bats. They do glide. They have what's called a patagium, a gliding membrane that attaches at their from their legs, okay, so to speak, that allows them to glide. So they don't actually fly, but they do glide. They are originally from Australia, New Zealand, that area, and they are considered an exotic animal. They are considered a high-maintenance animal. You could liken it to having a two-year-old for the next 10 years. So right away, some people get turned off by that. They are very intelligent. They're about the size of a gerbil.
Okay.
They do come in different colors, and depending on the color would determine, like, the price you would pay for a glider. The most common color would be the standard gray, and they are a marsupial-type animal. They are not rodents at all. They are closely related to possum and kangaroo because they do have a pouch where their babies that are called joeys grow. They stay with the mom and dad, raise them together, so that's kind of a really cool thing that I like because they stay together as a family, and daddy plays a very important role.
They have kind of from what I was reading, they have a reasonably structured family and social structure. Is that true?
They do. They are colony animals. They do better in pairs, at least, and live in large colonies in the wild.
I think that's one of the things that kind of lends them to being that two-year-old forever, because they actually get attached to you and you have this kind of social order associated with them. And that's something that you can't break. You're committed to that particular relationship that you have with this guy.
Exactly. They do have a long life expectancy as opposed to like a hamster or a gerbil.
Sure.
They can live 10, 12 years in captivity with the proper diet, the proper housing, and the proper bonding. It's like any animal. The more you put into that animal, the more you're going to get back. But sugar gliders do bond to their people, and they are very intelligent. They need to be stimulated, and they need to be challenged with their environment.
I know the people that have sugar gliders oftentimes stumble into them. They don't necessarily specifically. Some people do the researches. Some people don't. But the people that actually make great pets are very, very passionate. Give us an idea, kind of just in either from a story you've had with them or anything like that, why would somebody get so attached to these guys for 14 years or 12 years if they're kind of stuck in the two-year-old stage? You know, what is it about them that, like you want to have them for 14 years?
Well, they need to be nurtured, and a lot of people like to nurture. They like something that they can feel important and take care of, and definitely an animal that's, you know, in a cage needs to be taken care of.
Sure, sure.
They are challenging. They're fun to watch. They're very unique looking with their big eyes. They are nocturnal, so they're up, you know, at night. A lot of people have different work schedules and things where they're up more at night, so that makes it a good pet, you know, for that. But you don't need to be up all night with them. You just need to provide them with a challenging environment, and they do need one-on-one, you know, time with you as well. Because of how unique they look, a lot of people are drawn to them at different pet expos and pet fairs and things like that, and they don't do the research.
Sure.
And they get home, and then, you know, these little guys can crab and bite, which is kind of scary coming from such a little animal. And like I said, they need a specific diet to stay healthy. They need a specific environment. And if you don't do the research and you don't know how to care for them, then you're not going to succeed, and they're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy with them as a pet, and it's just going to be a really sad situation.
When we opened up the show here, I mentioned that, you know, we carried sugar gliders for a short bit, only quick enough to learn that these guys really need some serious imprinting at a very young age, and probably a pet store isn't the place that the employees... I didn't need my staff imprinting their kind of companionship with them. I needed the customers themselves. So we have a tendency of just sending them to the breeders. Is that helpful? Is that what you would recommend?
It is helpful. A pet store environment is really not a good environment for a sugar glider. Mm-hmm. For one thing, they're nocturnal. Pet stores are not open at night. They're open during the day.
So although we have had others that have thought that we should be open 24 hours a day.
Right. But, you know, they're being nocturnal, they're asleep all day. And the bright lights and all the sounds and people wanting to see them and poking at them and everything just makes them crab.
Right, right.
And crabbing is their defense mechanism.
Sure.
If they're upset or scared, they're going to crab and bite.
Yeah, explain to the listeners what you mean by crabbing.
It kind of sounds like a pencil sharpener. Like mm-hmm. a rah, 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 kind of.
Okay.
You know, and different gliders have a different pitch.
Uh-huh.
But you definitely know that they are crabbing. It's a scary sound, and I have a very healthy respect for a glider. If they're in the pouch and you're reaching your hand in, you're going to get bit, mm-hmm. and they can draw blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just not a good environment for them, you know, being nocturnal and being that they do imprint, they do bond with their people. I have three actively breeding pair, and I handle my Joeys as soon as they come out of pouch is considered their birth date.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the female is pregnant for about 2 weeks, and then the Joey, which is about the size of a grain of rice, maybe,
mm-hmm.
with no fur or anything, will crawl up into the pouch and attach to a nipple in the mama's pouch.
Wow!
And then they stay there for about 9 weeks.
Okay.
So when they come out of pouch, when they detach, is actually their birthday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the daddy helps, you know, with all of this. He'll babysit them. He'll, you know, the parents work together to teach them how to eat and teach them how to be gliders. So they stay with mom and dad for another 8 weeks after coming out of pouch. So it's a long process. It's not, you know, just a quick turnover, so to speak. I do have three pair that are actively breeding. And as soon as the Joeys come out of pouch, I handle them.
Okay.
And I kind of socialize them. But I don't really want them to bond and imprint on me because
right.
they're going to go to a new home, a new family, and I want them to be, you know, interacting with them. But I want them to feel comfortable being handled.
Now, one thing I notice, a lot of individuals that have sugar gliders will oftentimes have a pouch and they carry them with them, at least around the house. Is that an acceptable thing to do? And if so, does that help them? And does that help the bonding process?
It
or
does.
Is that something that you discourage or what?
No, that's a very good thing, especially when you get new gliders. They're new to you, whether they're
sure.
older gliders or younger Joeys. That helps the Joey or the glider himself to get used to your scent, your voice, your movements, all of that. And they will usually just sleep, and you can carry them all around. Now, I have, like, too many of them to be able to do that on a regular basis,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but I do... go with an organization called the Glider Initiative, and we do various pet expos and pet fairs to educate people about them.
Okay.
And I have a trio right now that usually goes with me. One of them I hand raise, so he thinks I'm mama anyway. And there are various different types of pouches and purse-type things and things that you can carry them. I even have a sweatshirt that it's a hoodie, and where you would put your hands, you know, the little pocket,
sure.
Behind that is a zippered pouch where you can keep the gliders.
And I guess that's what I thought of when I thought about sugar gliders and why people are connected to them, is that unlike most pets, which have to be kind of connect, you know, your connection is somewhat at a distance, and even when you bring them to them, you're handling them, but you're not really that close. And I think there's something to say about that real intimate connection that you feel when you are carrying them around, because I see people that come in with the sugar gliders
mm-hmm.
that just beam ear to ear that they have this sugar glider, and it's kind of like this, oh, by the way, here he is, and
right.
you don't, they kind of hide them, they kind of, you don't really get to see them, but they're like just so protect yourself. It kind of reminds me of the five rings, my little precious little thing.
The physical
in there.
Proximity that you've got
yeah,
with them.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And the people are so passionate about that.
It is. You get very passionate. You either love them or you don't.
Yeah.
And there's no middle of the road.
So tell us, that's very important, and I know it's important to you. How do you screen for this particular, characteristic? Because it's less about the sugar glider. It's more about the person that's coming to you. How do you effectively screen for that so that you aren't dealing with a whole lot of rescue situations?
Right. Well, me personally, I have an application, and it has it's a couple pages, and it has all kinds of questions about, what do you know about gliders, and, what do you know about their toys and the equipment? What do you have to have, and what's the ideal cage, and, just all of that kind of stuff about their diet and everything. And that kind of weeds people out, because a lot of people will say, well, what do you mean I need a contract? What do you mean there's an application?
Mm-hmm,
And I know right away that they're not going to put in what I believe, a glider would need. And just because you fill out an application doesn't guarantee you that I'm going to sell you,
sure,
a glider or place a rescue in your home. I want to make sure that because these guys bond so much and it's very stressful for them to be moved around from home to home, as it is, I'm not saying that it's not for a dog or a cat, too, but gliders just have a different type of a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And the person getting them has to match that personality. You're not going to mold that glider and change them. Like, you can't make them not nocturnal,
right,
because your schedule is like that.
Sure.
It'd be like me coming in at 2 a.m. to you and saying, hey, come on, let's go play, let's eat.
Sure.
And you'd be like all grumpy and say, heck no, I don't want to do this right now.
Yeah,
so
I'd be crabbing at you.
Yeah, I make
exactly
a crab noise myself.
Crabbing and biting, And people don't understand that, you're not going to change the glider. You're going to have to make changes to your lifestyle. Like, I have gliders here. They need fresh food every night. They need interaction with me every night. I don't go on vacations. If I go away for a weekend, then I have a very close friend that can come in and take care of gliders that I've left behind, like my breeding pair. I don't take them out, to fairs and expos. It'd be way too stressful for them,
sure,
especially if they have Joey's.
Lynn, if our listeners are interested in more contact with you regarding these, do you have a website or a way for people to contact you?
I do. They can contact me through email, which is gliderma, GLIDERMA, all one word, all lowercase, at AOL.com.
Okay.
And I also have the website, www.mygliders, my like Michigan, M-I, all one word, lowercase again, mygliders.com.
Okay. We've been speaking this morning with Lynn Martell, who is the owner of the Mid-Michigan Glider Group. And Lynn, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been fascinating information.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being able to get the word out, because gliders are great pets, but you need to know going in what it entails.
Right. Well, we appreciate it. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and actually speak with the president of the Glider Initiative right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
You think that we